You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, just plain right. Here Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m., giving it to you straight, calling balls and strikes like we've seen them, but making sure you understand, too, that we're doing this from a conservative perspective because, you know, with an audience full of right-side ruffians, that's what they need. That's what they want. Hey, and as always, Miss Copper is running the board. Good day to you, Miss Copper.
Good day. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Yay. Yep, it is indeed. Hope you got a good weekend planned.
Yes, going to a costume party tonight at Low Mill Arts Center.
Nice. Yeah. Now, wait, you were costuming last week, too, at like a, what was that, a Renaissance fair or something?
Renaissance fair, yes.
Indeed. So are you repurposing the same costume, or what are you doing?
No, it's a different one. There was a costume contest here at the radio station today, too.
Oh, yeah. Nice. And who won?
No results out yet. No. It's voting time.
Well, good enough. If I can cast a vote without being present, I will do so. All right. And you know, and good news too, like my little man, my grandson's 2 years old. He goes to a little daycare like 2 or 3 days a week, and he has an epic Captain America costume. Aww. Like epic. He's got a shield and everything. So they took him the other day because all the kids wore their costumes that day, and he wore his, and they told him, I said, okay, we're gonna do this for playtime, but then you can take it off if you want to. The only child who would not take his costume off all day was indeed my grandson. That's right. Because he is Captain America.
Fitting.
That's right. All right. Well, listen, we got a triple dipper. So, Copper, get that sound effect ready. So, the show today is going to be, I got some stuff. I mean, there are things that are happening. This is like all real time. I'm not going to be surprised if we don't have some breaking news on the air today. But the bottom line is this, at 3 p.m., you're going to want to stay tuned. State Senator Sam Gavan is going to call in, talk to us about the fact that vaccine mandates are indeed being dropped into the legislature. We'll see what they think the process is for getting those done. 3 p.m. is Sam Gavan. 4 p.m., my friend Matt Clark, the lead attorney for the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, is going to be here because I'm hearing over and over again that people are questioning, what about the legalities of what we're seeing? How does it all work? We're going to unpack that with an attorney who knows how to fight things on a constitutional basis. But in the meantime, the triple dipper. Copper, hit that sound effect.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
Yeah, so listen, here's the deal. Triple dipper number one. So we weave the themes together, right? We give you what you need to know to go out and argue, debate, discourse about the topics of the day. Number one of the triple dipper today is this. The special session in Montgomery is rocking, and things that people did not expect are actually happening. So we'll talk about that. Special session, rocking. Number two, the Biden agenda. The Biden agenda is in complete disarray. I mean, like, there are people actually calling him a lame duck president, and he's not even been in a year. That's amazing. And then number three, the legalities of fighting federal mandates. How does that work? Is there a supremacy clause? Yes, there is. Do states still have rights? Yes, they do. How do you balance that? Well, we're going to talk about that, and we'll also have Matt Clark, like I said, helping us out. So there you have it, the triple dipper. But I'm sitting here, by the way, thinking about the fact that number one of the triple dipper is the fact that the special session is rocking. And I got to thinking about the fact that they are going into debates that they had not expected, perhaps. But have you ever been in one of those no-lose situations? I mean, so we've all seen the no-win situation, right? But sometimes the stars align, and you find yourself looking at your personal situation and just thinking, why would I not? Sometimes big decisions are actually the easiest. I mean, the facts and circumstances line up in such a way that you look at yourself in the mirror and you realize there's nothing to lose. I mean, I know for a fact, when I asked Charlene to marry me 35 years ago next month, by the way, it was actually a no-brainer. I had no money, no job, I was still in school, I was only 21, but hey, I knew the upside. Why would I not? When I went to Army Ranger School, I had no advance notice. Unlike most people, I had no train-up for it, but a slot opened up with 6 days' notice, and I wanted to do it. Why would I not? When the day came that I was asked to consider running for the state senate, I reviewed the opportunity. Charlene and I talked about it, prayed about it. We believed in the cause. Why would we not? Or how about when I decided to hang my shingle and open my own law firm? That decision was made sitting on the couch at home with Charlene and I trying to find a reason why we would not do it, and we couldn't find one, and we made that decision overnight. I mean, why would we not? And this radio show is a classic example, Right Side Radio. Just like that. The opportunity arose. It ain't easy. It involves change and getting out of my comfort zone, but essentially there was nothing to lose by giving this a shot. I mean, why would I not? Now, you might look at those and say, okay, yeah, but Phil, those weren't really no-lose situations. I mean, they could have gone badly. No, not really. Because if they had not worked out, whether it be marriage or ranger school or Senate or law practice or this radio show, what would I have lost? I'd just be back where I was before, right? No real changes, but a life filled with experiences. In the end, each of those and other decisions like them have paid off more than I could have ever asked or imagined. Well, right now, take that and transfer it into the fact that the Alabama legislature is in that very same position. The governor was allegedly giving them some cover with an executive order on vaccine mandates, although it was not exactly cover. It was kind of like having a cardboard shield in a sword fight. Looks good on the outside, nothing to it in reality. And then minutes after releasing the governor's executive order, she also issued the call to the special session, which contained nothing at all, dealing with vaccine mandates. I mean, there is no greater issue before the people of this state right now, none, than that of vaccine mandates causing the loss of jobs right at the holidays. I mean, it's maddening to think that nothing was being contemplated requiring another of the three branches of government to take action. So now the legislature actually is in session, though. The call is in place. The governor placed the call. They are there to determine the legislative district lines and other district lines and also appropriate some funds, period. That's what she wanted them to do. But the agenda is different than the call. The agenda is not finalized. State law allows that in the setting of a special session, the legislature may, in fact, take up matters outside of the call if 2/3 of the body concurs. That's a high hurdle, but it's very doable. So yesterday, what happened? We did have protesters down there on the steps of the State House talking about or calling for the fact that they wanted something done on vaccine mandates. And an intrepid group of senators, they dropped in 6 bills dealing with vaccine mandates and other related matters. And this morning, I just talked to a House member a little while ago. They dropped in several of the same in their own body. One of those Senate bills has 20 co-sponsors on it. That's over half the Senate. And I can tell you for a fact, the word that I'm getting from several of my former colleagues down in Montgomery right now is that a bill will come out of the Senate and go down to the House. Meanwhile, though, Speaker of the House Mac McCutcheon from Huntsville, who I've known and worked with for years, someone who I respect, has openly stated that he does not intend to bring those bills to the House floor. I mean, look at it. He's not running again, remember? He can pull that kind of a move and take the heat for the members of the House, and all they have to do is blame him for not letting them vote on it. But now I'm hearing this. I'm hearing they had a caucus meeting last night, and the mood was, why would we not? I mean, think about it. Rumor on the street right now is the answer to that question about why would we not is, well, we think the governor's going to call maybe another special session. I mean, maybe the governor's going to call another special session after this one to let us deal with it then. So why don't we just wait and see? No. You go down that road, that's called political kicking the can down the road. That's called putting it off in the hopes that something else happens. That's called we don't want to deal with it. You better deal with it, folks. I'm just telling you guys in the legislature, you'd better deal with it. And you better pass a bill now and put it in the governor's hands and make her decide what to do with it. I mean, this current legislature right now is the group whose claim to fame thus far in this quadrennium is they raised your gas taxes, they spent more of your money than ever, they passed the legalization of marijuana, they debated the expansion of casinos, and they're almost all running for re-election right now, and they are hearing loudly from the people of this state that something needs to be done about vaccine mandates. Why would they not? I'm hearing the governor is saying, well, let's see if the AG, the Attorney General, can get it done. And I'll sign something y'all send me if it really helps. Well, let me tell you something. You make her face down the public about whether she'll sign it. If she doesn't, it will be the thing that she will have to answer to the public in her own campaign, not yours. So let's not forget, the legislature is a wholly separate and distinct branch of government. They can have their own agendas. They can have their own say. They can run a bill the governor does or does not like. At that point, the onus is on her. Why would they not? And what will the public think? Well, they'll see you care. They will see that when they cried out about losing their jobs, that the legislature listened, and when they had an opportunity to pass something, they did. Now, I'm encouraging you, do something meaningful. Don't do something hollow. And if you do that, you will make up for any gas tax or other matter that's come across the legislative floor. And you can campaign on that single issue. That one thing that can go on every single campaign announcement or Facebook page or town hall meeting, you can stand up and say, I'm in the state legislature. The governor called us in to do one thing, but we chose to do another. The people of the state will be protected as long as I'm in office. That's what you have to say. It's a no-lose situation. Why would they not? And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, that's it, folks, and I'm serious. It's really, why would they not? It's a no-lose situation. Pass something meaningful that has some teeth in it, get it out on the floor, debate it, vote on it, send it to the governor. If she doesn't want to sign it, that's on her. Don't let it be because you didn't send something. Don't let it be because she stared you down and said, I'd really prefer not to deal with that right now. Your constituents need you to deal with it. Why would you not? All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.